The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It is Tuesday. And as you know, our week here at the Nicole Sandler Show starts on Tuesdays. And days like today, it's kind of weird because it seems like, oh my goodness, the March for Our Lives was so long ago, but we haven't spoken since then. And then there was that Stormy Daniels interview, also seemed so long ago, but we have not spoken since then. So we've got a few things to touch on today. Actually, I want to start with guns because... Of the two events that took place this weekend, what happened Saturday was the more important of the two, I would say. How amazing was that? I actually did not go to a march. I was feeling a little under the weather, so I just hung at home and watched most of the day on television. And oh my God, first of all, It's just as well that I didn't go to our local march because it was here in Parkland where they estimated about 20,000 people showed up. I don't know that we would have been able to park the car anywhere and get to where the march and the rally was happening. So, but what an outpouring, not only here and in D.C., but in over 800 cities around the world. I think it surpassed the expectations of everybody. And again, what an amazing outpouring of everything, of passion, of emotion, of, want for a better life without fear of guns every time you turn around. Looking at the chat room, I admit I watched the interview on 60 Minutes as well, but hey, Pisces Bobby, it wasn't only us. 22 million people watched that thing, giving that episode of 60 Minutes its highest ratings in over a decade. So yes, it got higher ratings than the interview of Trump after he won the election. Go figure. Yeah. What else is going on? I go through Twitter on Tuesdays because Laffy is here and we do her tweet spot, and I like to contribute a few tweets to the goings on. And I came across one from Brian Schatz. Sorry for my voice today. I don't know what's going on. I told you I was a little under the weather over the weekend. I guess it's still with me. So Brian Schatz, senator from the state of Hawaii, he tweeted out, "So I was at the march in D.C. on Saturday, and the public policy program on stage was not gun confiscation or the elimination of the Second Amendment. It was primarily, one, universal background checks, two, assault weapons ban, three, raise the age of purchase, and four, don't arm teachers." Despite what the Fox cabal might try to tell you, these kids are not lobbying for the repeal of the Second Amendment. No, we leave that today to John Paul Stevens, former justice of the United States Supreme Court. John Paul Stevens, who was nominated to the court by Gerald Ford, so a Republican, has this op-ed in today's New York Times. And sorry to make you deal with my voice today, but I'm going to share this with you. He writes, Rarely in my lifetime have I seen the type of civic engagement school children and their supporters demonstrated in Washington and other major cities throughout the country this past Saturday. These demonstrations demand our respect. They reveal the broad public support for legislation to minimize the risk of mass killings of school children and others in our society. That support is a clear sign to lawmakers to enact legislation prohibiting civilian ownership of semi-automatic weapons, increasing the minimum age to buy a gun from 18 to 21 years old, and establishing more comprehensive background checks on all purchasers of firearms. But the demonstrators should seek more effective and more lasting reform. They should demand a repeal of the Second Amendment. Again, this is an op-ed in today's New York Times from former Justice of the Supreme Court, John Paul Stevens. He continues, "Concern that a national standing army might pose a threat to the security of the separate states led to the adoption of that amendment, which provides that, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Today, that concern is a relic of the 18th century. For over 200 years after the adoption of the Second Amendment, it was uniformly understood as not placing any limit on either federal or state authority to enact gun control legislation. In 1939, the Supreme Court unanimously held that Congress could prohibit the possession of a sawed-off shotgun because that weapon had no reasonable relation to the preservation or efficiency of a well-regulated militia. During the years when Warren Burger was our Chief Justice, from 1969 to 1986, no judge, federal or state, as far as I'm aware, expressed any doubt as to the limited coverage of that amendment. When organizations like the National Rifle Association disagreed with that position and began their campaign claiming that federal regulation of firearms curtailed Second Amendment rights, Chief Justice Burger publicly characterized the NRA as perpetrating, quote, one of the greatest pieces of fraud, I repeat the word fraud, on the American public by special interest groups that I have ever seen in my lifetime, end quote. In 2008, the Supreme Court overturned Chief Justice Burger's and others' long-settled understanding of the Second Amendment's limited reach by ruling in District of Columbia v. Heller that there was an individual right to bear arms. I was among the four dissenters. That decision, writes Justice Stevens, which I remain convinced was wrong and certainly was debatable, has provided the NRA with a propaganda weapon of immense power. Overturning that decision via a constitutional amendment to get rid of the Second Amendment would be simple and would do more to weaken the NRA's ability to stymie legislative debate and block constructive gun control legislation than any other available option. That simple but dramatic action would move Saturday's marchers closer to their objective than any other possible reform. It would eliminate the only legal rule that protects sellers of firearms in the United States, unlike every other market in the world. It would make our school children safer than they have been since 2008 and honor the memories of the many, indeed far too many, victims of recent gun violence. Again, today's New York Times op-ed written by John Paul Stevens, a retired justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. He's now 97 years old. He was almost here when the Second Amendment was put into effect. So that's that. I'll tell you what. I'm going to take these pills for my throat, for my voice. We'll check out what's news and we'll come back on the other side with Gotta Laugh and she'll help me get through this, my day with no voice. I'm Nicole Sandler. It's NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. We'll be right back.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Commerce Department announced late Monday that the 2020 census would ask people whether they were U.S. citizens, a controversial decision that civil rights groups say is unnecessary and could jeopardize the accuracy of the entire survey.
In a controversial move with potentially wide-ranging consequences, the Commerce Department says the U.S. census will now begin asking about citizenship status in the year 2020. That question is being asked for the very first time in decades at the request of the Justice Department. Census data determines how congressional districts are drawn and where federal funds are spent, among other things. Now, critics warn the citizenship question will result in a huge drop in response rates from immigrants fearing deportation. It will skew the numbers overall. It will basically poison the data.
That could be a big blow to heavily Democratic areas. Lawsuits are already being drafted by California's Attorney General and the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, led by former Attorney General Eric Holder. Holder tweeting this overnight: "This is purely political. Trump administration trying to rig the 2020 census to protect gerrymandering by intimidating people. Don't be fooled. Some states will unfairly lose funds and representation."
The Trump administration announced Monday it will expel dozens of Russian diplomats from the United States in retaliation for the poisoning of a former Russian spy living in the United Kingdom.
The expelling of the 60 diplomats includes 48 diplomats here in D.C. who are assigned to the Russian embassy and another 12 who are assigned to the U.N. in New York. A senior administration official tells us these believed Russian agents have 7 days to leave the U.S. And they tell us that the U.S. believes these diplomats are using their diplomatic status as a cover. We're also told that the U.S. is going to close the Russian consulate in Seattle. And this is all described as being a show of solidarity following the poisoning of a Russian agent on British soil. Remember, a few weeks ago, the Sarah Sanders said here in the briefing room that the U.S. stands on the side of the U.K. This is an effort to match those statements with some action.
A day after the ratings record-breaking interview on 60 Minutes aired, Stormy Daniels accused Michael Cohen, Trump's personal attorney, of defamation, amending her lawsuit. Her attorney, Michael Avenatti, explains.
We filed what's called a first amended complaint where we added additional details relating to the allegations in connection with the lawsuit that is now pending in federal court. What we've added is as follows.
This is your lawsuit against the Trump Organization alleging that the non-disclosure agreement is not valid because it wasn't signed?
That's correct. It was originally named Donald Trump, as well as this LLC that Mr. Cohen formed. And what we've done now is we've added the following allegations, and a number of these are very critical and very, very important for your viewers to understand. First of all, we have added an allegation or a claim of defamation against Mr. Cohen for his previous denials of the affair, basically calling my client a liar. So we're going to put those claims to the test, and we're going to prove that, in fact, my client is telling the truth, and it is Mr. Cohen who has misled the American people. So that's number one. Secondly, and equally important, if not more important, we are now seeking to invalidate the agreement, not just because it wasn't signed, but on a host of other grounds, the most significant of which, for the purposes of our discussion right now, and this goes hand in hand with what Mr. Potter said on 60 Minutes, is because we are contending that this agreement was designed to basically further a campaign finance violation. The way that it was carried out, the conspiracy that existed, the way that it was handled, et cetera, and therefore it should be void under public policy. It should not be enforced because it was designed to influence the election and purposely avoid reporting it pursuant to federal election law.
More details have emerged in the police shooting of 22-year-old Stephon Clark in Sacramento.
Her emotions still raw. Today, Saquita Thompson, grandmother of Stephon Clark, spoke about her loss.
My great-grandbabies don't have their daddy.
She was at home last week when Sacramento police confronted Clark in her backyard. Officers were responding to reports a vandal was breaking car windows. When they encountered Clark, officers said they thought he had a gun.
Show me your hands! Gun, gun, gun!
I said, call 911, they're shooting.
After firing 20 shots, police found no weapon, just a cell phone. The coroner said today Clark died of multiple gunshot wounds. His family has hired well-known civil rights attorney Ben Crump, who has also represented the families of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. Sunday, players from the Sacramento Kings and Boston Celtics wore T-shirts with Clark's name.
Say his name, Stephon Clark.
Stephon Clark.
17 athletes from both teams were featured in a public service announcement seen during the first quarter.
We will not stick to sports.
We will not shut up and dribble.
This is bigger than basketball.
Change can be uncomfortable.
Change is necessary.
The shooting has sparked a series of protests, punctuated at times by tense moments in the streets. Sacramento's mayor hopes the demonstrations are peaceful and can be channeled into change. Now, Clark's family is preparing for his funeral Thursday. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
Linda Brown, who as a little girl was at the center of the Brown versus Board of Education case that ended segregation in American schools, died Sunday afternoon in Topeka, Kansas at 75.
I got the news.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and we talk about what's going on in the news. So let's get Laffy on the line, shall we? Hello?
Yes, you've reached the Stormy Spanx Trump hotline.
Ooh, okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump was thrilled that Stormy Daniels spanked him with a magazine with his face on the cover because it meant he could finally kiss his own ass.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you think when Trump noticed how substantial the magazine was, he became intimidated and demanded that Stormy only spank him with talking points. Press 3 if you think after the Stormy spanking, both physically and verbally, Trump literally hit bottom.
Well, he's been at bottom.
Tush was
yeah,
the...
I gotcha.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So I didn't think, that, you know, I'll tell you, one thing I was surprised about with this interview is that to me, an affair connotes an ongoing relationship. Mm-hmm. What they had was a one-night stand.
And it wasn't even something that she was thrilled about. It was like, yeah, I'm here. I guess I should do it.
So, and this is what Anderson Cooper didn't clarify with her. She said she went into the bathroom and she came out and he was perched on the bed.
Right.
Naked?
That's what I think the implication was. Like, here I am ready.
Right. Because she went, oh, here we go.
And like, okay, well, I'm not attracted to you. I really don't want to do this, but... what the heck?
I got myself into this mess. I guess I need to go through with it.
Right.
But yeah, I would have thought a little more clarification from Anderson Cooper on that question. What is he saying that, you know, she came out of the bathroom and he's sitting there naked? Ew, can you imagine?
Ugh, no, I don't want to imagine. But I know there was a lot cut out based on what Avenatti.
Avenatti.
I always put the wrong vowel in there. But
too.
Anyway, he said there was a lot on the cutting room floor and so that we should lower our expectations. And I guess, you know, some of that got lost in the translation, the thing that you're talking about. It'll be really nice to finally get all the details that they have so that we can understand this better. But until that happens legally, you know, he can't say much because he can't give away what he's got. And legally, he also shouldn't give away what he's got, the evidence that he has. So,
right.
We're kind of stuck.
And then there was a friend of hers who went on some show either this morning or over the weekend and basically said that she has the dress that she wore that night.
He
knocked that down. I mean, there's so much disinformation coming out. Fake news, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. I think people, you know, they would read one thing and then take that and somehow pull at it over into, oh, he means this. This is the evidence he must have. And then that becomes what goes around the internet. This is exactly how fake news gets started. But he did clarify. It was very clear. You know, I made sure to retweet that a couple of times so that people wouldn't have those expectations. And I'm wondering, you know, everybody's making assumptions about the DVD or the CD. I think he referred to it as a CD. whether there's photos or, you know, whether there's data on it or images of maybe documents. Who knows what there are? Maybe there's phone records.
Right.
Who the heck knows? We're making way too much out of this than we should.
Well, but he tweeted it out, which was...
Yeah, that's exactly right. He fed us just enough to get us talking, but that's exactly what he wants. Because we're saying it, not him. Right. And then it really gets up Trump's ass, I guess you could call it.
so to speak.
Anyway.
So you watched the lying session today with Sarah.
I did. I watched it. I sort of was in and out of it. But I do have tweets that are lined up. All my things are tabbed, so I can't see what they are. There's so many of them. So you want to just start in? I'll go in order of how I put them up.
All right. Before we get to that, though, let's talk a little bit about Saturday and how amazing those kids were.
Oh, my God. Okay. I want you to know that I had these theater kids. I taught theater at a high school for years and years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And they reminded me of the Parkland kids. It was we have a school that was a magnet school. It attracted really good kids. And then the theater kids were exceptional for at least 5 years until, believe it or not, phone devices started interfering with their thought process. And I can honestly attest, I've told you this on, you know, on the show before, but the first 5 years we called the golden years, and the kids were almost identical to the Parkland kids. They were extremely knowledgeable. They had all kinds of points of reference when they spoke. They were very well spoken. They could get up in front of any crowd and emote. And it reminded me of these kids, and it made me cry because I missed that. And it made me cry because these kids were in a whole different circumstance, terribly painful and traumatic, and they were still able to emote, and they were still able to stay composed for the most part and say what they needed to say so eloquently, so emotionally, and they were so committed. Mm-hmm. They were so, this was their focus, and they never once veered from their I don't know, their
mission,
their through line.
Right.
Yes, exactly. These kids, they never once crossed a line, like you were saying in your previous section there, where you were saying they didn't say, we're going to take your guns away, and they didn't go over the top.
Yep.
They stuck to their, I guess, talking points, more or less. They knew how to do it just enough to tug at our heartstrings, but not too much where we were like going, that's bullshit.
But they also did something for Emma Gonzalez to get up on a stage and stand there for over 4 minutes in silence.
Yeah.
You know, I happened to be in the car when that part came on. I was listening on CNN in the car. And, because I didn't have the visual, I didn't know what was going on. I'm wondering, is she crying? It took me a minute, but then I got it because she started by saying 6 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. I was taking grabs of the screen, my TV. So whenever I do one thing, I don't do two things at once very well. So I don't hear what they say.
Yeah.
So I'm taking all these pictures and trying to edit them really fast so I can get them onto the, you know, Twitter and then I see her do that. I was, oh my God, is she unable to speak? And I'm typing out even silent. She's saying, you know, what she needs to say. And then I realized, and I went, oh, my God, this was intentional.
Yeah,
you know?
I got it. I got that she had focused in on the time that it took him to kill 17 people and injure 17 more. And but I thought how ballsy that is, because as you know from doing theater, silence is deafeningly loud.
Well,
and
to have over four minutes
of silence is unheard of. I mean, she broke all the rules.
Absolutely right. When I talk, I cut you out, so I didn't realize you were still talking. One of the things I taught in improv over and over, because it was a huge thing to me, was silence is golden on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Silence will calm the audience down and make them listen. So if you stop talking for even, say, 2 or 3 seconds, which is an eternity, is an eternity, they suddenly, you get the audience's attention, you make an impact, and you can actually get a laugh. And I was teaching comedy. You can actually get a laugh from the silence and from visuals rather than words you think are funny. Well, what she did was she used that silence to such great effect. And of course, she was crying during it. So that made it even more effective because you were seeing raw emotion with no words. You don't need words.
Yep. And people were unsure, you know, there was discomfort in the crowd. First, they started chanting, Emma, Emma.
Yes.
And then
yes.
They chanted other things. They were trying to fill the silence. And she just stood there, which is really difficult to do.
It is. And not only did she just stand there, she stood there, I don't know how to explain, with the creating a visual of stillness and tears.
Yeah.
And that's all there was, stillness and tears. You could see her pain.
Yep.
You could see her going through an excruciating thought process as she stood there. They were real tears. And that's all she needed to do. And everybody else who's yakking on Twitter, you know, these horrible conservatives who are bullying these wonderful Parkland kids and everybody else who was on stage are making themselves look utterly foolish. And these kids look twice as adult as the so-called grown-ups.
Yep. No, really. I mean, they showed their maturity far beyond their years.
Oh, my God, yes. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. At that age, as I tweeted out that day, I would be either uncontrollably giggling or melting into the stage into a puddle. I would have been crying. You know, I would have been like, yeah, I can't talk. No,
right.
I can't. I'm shit. And they got up there. And I heard one of them say later that evening to Lawrence O'Donnell on his show, I was shaking. I was terrified. And he said, boy, you could have fooled us. We did not know that.
Hmm. No,
so,
Mel did remarkably well.
They did a great
well.
Job.
Yeah.
They did a great job. Anyway, yeah,
incredible.
I was totally 100% impressed. I couldn't get enough of what I was seeing. And usually I get bored during these long, you know, events. I kind of like the speakers get boring to me, you know, and none of them bored me. None of them.
No, and they were all kids.
All of them. And that was the point. They wouldn't let adults speak, which was like the production values, the thought that went into this was superb.
Yeah.
And it came together relatively quickly. So, and through all the trauma they were going through. So whoever was responsible helping them, and of course they doing their thing, boy, they get a huge kudos. I couldn't think more highly of them.
No, they really came through. And now the question is how they keep it going. And I think they will. I think they're going to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, I do too.
I think they're going to keep the pressure on.
I want them. I don't want to. I'm going to miss them if they don't continue to get on TV because they are superb spokespeople.
Yes, they are.
All
and
right,
I think
so,
they'll still be around.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. I agree. Okay, so today, this is from today.
Yeah,
all the things I threw up on my screen here.
Let's do this.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, so it's a busy day on the Twitters, huh?
Yeah. So The Hill tweeted out, blue states sue Trump over census citizenship question. Democratic attorneys are indeed bringing legal action to stop the Trump administration, and I'm reading from The Hill, from adding a question on citizenship to the next U.S. census, a question they said would lead to serious undercounts that could reverberate for years to come. Not only that, but, you know, it targets immigrant communities. It could cause gerrymandering. It's all everything about it is wrong. It you know, every day they throw another unconstitutional curve at us. I just can't even.
Yep.
I have a
Kamala Harris tweet on this. She wrote, the spirit of the census is that no one should go uncounted and no one should be invisible. By adding a citizenship question to the 2020 census, this administration is threatening its accuracy.
Exactly. And I do have Huckabee Sanders or, you know, Huckabee S tweet about it, or comment on it, I believe, in my tweets. Okay, so the next thing, so we'll get back to it. Trump is private. This is from the Washington Post. It was tweeted out. Trump is privately pressing for the military to pay for his stupid border wall.
Yep.
And today, and I think I have the tweet, but Huckabee Sanders said they're still trying to get Mexico to do it, which is a joke. No. But Trump frequently said, this is from Washington Post, Mexico would pay for a wall along the southern border, blah, blah, blah. Now he's privately pushing the U.S. military to fund construction of his project. So it's our tax dollars again.
Right. Yet again.
Yeah.
He figured there's so much money in the military budget, he could just steal 25 mil and no one will notice, or 25 bill. Sorry. Yeah. And
no, you're exactly right.
Yep. It's unbelievable.
Here's a fun one. I mean, not a fun one, but it's a poll by PPP, political. No, it's, I'm sorry. This is from political polls. It is from PPP polls. I'm sorry. Public policy polling.
Yes.
2020 general election, Biden 56%, Trump 39%. That's plus 17. Mm-hmm. Sanders 55%, Trump 39%, plus 16. Warren 51%, Trump 40%, plus 11. And Booker 49%, plus 10 to Trump's 39%. So that's just a fun palate cleanser for today, because we don't get that much good news. You know,
no.
We don't get, and it's way far away, and it's meaningless at this point, but, you know.
Yeah, but we can do better than Biden.
Yeah,
saying.
We can do better than a whole lot of people, but we'll see what happens. But I just hope that those numbers stay, and I hope they're accurate, and I hope we can get through anything that Russia or any other nation pulls against, you know, tries to sabotage. I just hope we can get through this. I hope we have as legitimate an election as we can.
You
and
me
I
both.
Hope we win.
We got to get through the midterms first, and we've got to have big, huge pickups on the Democratic side to take back the House and or the Senate.
Somebody,
both.
What's his name? Did I save his tweet? Did I please? The guy Wasserman, who does all the election results
right.
that I love.
Right, Dave Wasserman.
He actually countered somebody who said we need an 11% lead. He said, no, it's more like 7%. This is doable. I can't remember. I hope I saved it. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, alt-immigration is one of the Twitter accounts that arose when Trump came in, when he was clearing out all his agencies, right? So alt-immigration came
right,
up.
Right.
And they I'm sorry?
I said right. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And she said, I am okay with the Second Amendment if supporters can buy one of the two options below, plus $1 million policy per bullet shot from the weapon that strikes a human. One, muskets, unlimited gunpowder, or two ton Civil War era cannons, unlimited gunpowder. So I think that's fair.
That's fair. You're someone that I started following because of you, Randi Myam Singer.
Oh yeah, she's great.
She wrote, common sense gun laws don't violate the Second Amendment any more than libel laws violate the First Amendment. In the face of the biggest tide we've ever seen for common sense gun laws, the gundamentalists are sounding stupider and stupider.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, she's absolutely right. You know, after we heard how they're coming out against the kids, you know, the fundamentalists are a lot of all the things that at the Republicans or the fundamentalists or the anti-abortion or whoever, all these talking points that come out always end up showing to be nothing more than talking points. They really don't believe all this stuff. They're just using them to get their guy elected or their woman elected. So, by the way, BB went to the hospital, Netanyahu.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They say it was for an examination. I don't know what kind. I don't know any details, but off he went.
Okay.
A little breaking news. Kyle Griffin, MSNBC producer of The Last Word, he said Trump apparently, Maggie Haberman, he quotes first, per two senior administration officials, Trump continued to rail privately about the omnibus bill and has become convinced of things that aren't true about it. And then Kyle Griffin says Trump apparently didn't know much about what was actually in the omnibus,
if he's
taking his cues from Fox News and the likes of Coulter and Pirro. And then Maggie Haberman added on, Trump has been watching Fox, which had Coulter on, Jeanine Pirro slamming Trump over the wall funding. That type of thing, as well as his conviction it includes Planned Parenthood funding, are animating him. Animating him. I love that.
Right. Well, this is the thing, that he's been quiet, although he did tweet something out today about an opioid memorial wall or something like that. But
yes, I am pleased to welcome the opioid memorial to the President's Park in April. I encourage all to visit and remember those who we have lost, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And there's some kind of a wall, I think.
But before that, he had been quiet for a while. And apparently simmering, stewing over this omnibus bill that he signed. And now he was watching Fox criticize him over it and getting more and more angry.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's all he can do. That's what he does. By the way, the Dow is falling more than 400 points now. So,
oh, it is. Wow.
It was doing well this morning and down it went.
And
all right.
It did well yesterday. And it did well yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it's not doing well
today.
It's
a roller coaster.
389.
A roller coaster,
okay. The Talking Points memo tweeted out, Romney runs to the right. Deport the dreamers. So anybody who thinks Romney is a moderate, I don't know where anyone got that idea. Just because someone criticizes Trump doesn't mean that they're a moderate. It just means they don't like Trump.
Right. Exactly.
He said he established himself as more conservative on immigration than the bulk of his party, including Trump, according to the Daily Herald. I'm also more of a hawk on immigration than even the president, he said. My view was these DACA kids shouldn't be allowed to stay in the country legally.
Sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah. He's, you know, remember self-deporting was him.
Yep. Self-deportation.
So, no, he's not your friend, people. If he runs or if he gets into, you know, he's not your friend. He's just as bad as the rest of them. I'm so tired of people thinking anyone who, I mean, think of the people MSNBC has on now.
Yeah.
Because they criticize Trump.
Right. And some of them seem to have come around, you know, someone like a Jennifer Rubin. Again, I've become a big fan of hers.
Nicole Wallace.
Nicole Wallace, right.
Who was, you know, a McCain person. So, we'll see how they come around for real, though, when it comes to the issues. But they tend to sound more liberal than they did, yeah. And then some of them have dropped their Republican status and gone independent, like Nicole Wallace.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
You know, I still can't give Nicole Wallace and Steve Schmidt props because they are, after all, people
Palin.
Who were responsible for Sarah Palin. Without them, we would not have had Sarah Palin. And
and
Sarah Palin indirectly led to Donald Trump.
Exactly. I know they expressed their regrets, but they did their job, you know.
Yeah.
So LOL GOP, our buddy, he tweeted, okay, Eric Schneiderman first tweeted, breaking, I am leading 19 AGs against the Trump administration's illegal and inhumane effort to let businesses refuse health care to employees under the guise of religious freedom. And then LOL GOP says, this is why Trump's personal morality matters, by the way.
Uh-huh.
It's something to think about. You know, people overlook Trump's morality, if you want to call it morality, his immorality, because, you know, he's Trump. But it goes further than just having affairs with Stormy, or not affairs, you know, but excursions with women.
Right.
It's a lot of things. So that's his thing. Eli Stokols from MSNBC, he said, Sarah Sanders ducks question on census changes, says to check with Department of Commerce, which does not have a televised daily briefing, then refers a question regarding legal team to Jay Sekulow. Yeah, she was deflecting all over the place today. John Amato?
Yep.
From Crooks and Liars, he said, question, why Stormy Daniels was paid if allegations were false? Sanders, don't ask me.
Really?
Yeah, well, she was basically saying, just ask the lawyers. Well, nobody gets to ask the lawyers. They're not available to anybody.
Of course not. It's just a way of deflecting.
Right. Here's one I took down. She was getting a lot of Stormy Daniels questions, and she's basically saying he's denied these allegations. First of all, no, he hasn't.
But he hasn't, right. He has not said a word about Stormy Daniels.
Right. He said sent his people out, but he has not said a word. So we don't know anything about what he thinks. We can imagine. And there's some behind the scenes, you know, leaks about how he said, well, I didn't think she was attractive either. You know, I wasn't attracted to her either. Huckabee S said, I didn't say he punches back on every single topic on why there's no word from him.
Oh, my God.
She said, if I did that, I'd be, you know, he'd be answering every single thing that the press has to say. And she was going on and on about that. But basically, she deflected the entire session. Sanders says a citizen, this is from Kyle Griffin again, he's watching, you know, and he says, Sanders says a citizenship question has been on every census since 1965. Citizenship hasn't been questioned on a decennial census since 1950. And then Tamara Keith of NPR says, Ray, the census press secretary says citizenship has been asked every year since 1965, except 2010. But she is referring to the smaller American Community Survey, which isn't used to determine congressional representation. Uh-huh. It's been 50 years since Maine census asked about citizenship.
Right. And she'll spin it to make it sound like this is the case in the major big every 10-year census questionnaire. And it just flat out is not.
Right. And of course, there will be court battles about this. So Christina Wilkie for CNBC, she said, question, Jimmy Carter said recently, this is for Huckabee S, most people want to see a president with some basic moral values. Your reaction? And then she said, the people of this country came out by the millions to support Donald Trump. And then Christina says, White House never claims Trump has basic moral values, only that he won votes.
Well, I guess there's that.
Yep. I mean, that's what they always do. Whenever they ask a question about, you know, well, what about this? And he said this before, and now he's saying this, or what is the value system here? They come back with, he won. He won the election. People voted for him, and they didn't care then, and they don't care now. That's not really the point. And if you're going to go by people who voted for him, 3 million more didn't vote for him.
That is very true.
And so there.
We need to do something about the Electoral College.
Oh, boy, do we ever. Okay, now referring back to something you were reporting on in your That's New or What's News, the California Attorney General is going to oversee an investigation into the fatal police shooting of Stephon Clark.
Good.
So something is attempting to be done here. He's going to review the policies of the police department. He said his office would make sure the investigation would be based on the facts and the law, nothing less, nothing more. So it's not a done deal yet. Okay, so yesterday's tweets. We did today's. Yesterday's tweets, starting with Andrea Mitchell. This is kind of a random selection of tweets. Ted Olson, former Solicitor General. I feel very, very strongly that transgender people are U.S. citizens entitled to rights and should be treated with dignity. It's unfortunate that they want to serve to defend us and they're victims of discrimination. I hope it'll be changed. And Steve Rhodes of Tiger Beat, he's a photojournalist, he said, I don't think the Trump-Pence ban on transgender troops helped with the second attempt to recruit Ted Olson to join Trump's legal team. You'd think they would have Googled him.
Yeah, they don't do that. You would have thunk they would have Googled what was his DeGeneva, and learned more about him and Tainzing, the wife, before they said they're going to be joining the legal team, before they realized they wouldn't be joining the legal team.
Exactly. Well, they, you know, it's for them to say they didn't know. It was all over every piece of news that there was conflicts there. If they were just going to use the conflicts argument, that they represented people that were involved with this investigation. Corallo, I think, is the one that Tensing represents, as I recall.
Yep.
Who's now helping with the investigation. He's now a cooperating witness, as I recall. But it was written up everywhere. This was not news. It was not hidden from them. They could have easily – how could they not know this, in other words? So they just didn't. I guess they ignored everything that was out there.
I guess. And all he knows is he sees somebody on Fox and says, okay, I like that person. Let's get that person.
You can imagine him sitting on his gold toilet with the bathroom TV on, pointing, going, I want him.
Right.
I want that guy. He talks good.
Right. He talks like me. Talks like me. He sounds like me.
God, really, Tenzing and DeGeneva are the most horrible. And then the word was, and they were trying to sort of downplay it and say it nicely in all these, you know, leaks that were coming out of the White House. But basically, he took one look at them and said that they weren't what he expected. He didn't get along with them, or he didn't like the way they looked or something.
They didn't click.
They didn't click. But that just means that they didn't rise to expectations, either looks wise or they didn't kiss his ass enough. I don't know, but they were good on TV, so who cares?
Yep.
Our friend Angie Coiro, who is a radio personality, and she's amazing. She said, "Cheer up, Trump! Tomorrow is a spanking new day." Allison Burnett, a screenwriter. Just to be fair, Trump also constantly tells Ivanka she reminds him of a porn star.
Can you imagine?
I mean, fair is fair.
Yes.
Fair is fair. Oh, I got to block a call. Excuse me. I'm blocking every call that comes in because I get so many fake ones. LOL GOP did a thread replying to the New York Times headline, "To reclaim the House, Democrats need to flip 24 GOP seats, 25 are in Clinton territory." He said, "I just want people thinking about this. We could wake up on November 7th and the GOP could have lost the popular vote by 9% and still control the House and have picked up seats in the Senate." God, I wish more people would listen to this. "Then the lesson learned is obstruction, corruption, and giveaways for the rich work. If the GOP wins in 2018, it will be because they won it 8 years ago with gerrymandering and Citizens United. If we win, it will be because we've created a wave unlike anything America has ever has seen since Nixon resigned. Good news, everyone. Republicans may be able to lose the popular vote by only three times the popular vote Trump lost and keep the House."
I hope he's right. All I know is we need to get a lot more people out voting than they do.
That's
what I know. Way more people.
I'm really, really hoping that the Parkland kids have truly inspired other kids, not just to register,
but to
get out there. And I really hope they have some sort of a caravan thing going or some kind of, you know, get to the polls campaign or something.
I have faith in these kids. I do.
I do, too. I just think they're fantastic. I don't think they're going to let this slide. Nick Valencia of CNN said, "When I asked Marco Rubio if he thinks he's done enough as an elected person to stop the next mass shooting from happening, he said, 'In 5 weeks, I think more has happened on this issue than the last 15 years.'" In other words, nothing.
Yeah, but he hasn't done shit. He's done absolutely nothing.
Right. He just says these little sort of platitudinous, "We've done this and look at all this progress." And he doesn't get specific about anything, nor can he possibly defend himself.
Well, you saw the kids during the rally wearing the price tags, $1.05.
Yep.
That's the money that Marco Rubio has taken from the NRA for every school child. That's what their lives are worth to Marco Rubio and NRA dollars.
Right. Oh, also news item that I didn't include. I thought I had a tweet up about this, but I didn't. Trump is dying to get Rob Porter back, the wife beater.
I saw that.
Yeah, he's been calling him. Actually, she said he only called, what Huckabee said, he only called him once that she knows of. But the fact that he's calling him at all, first of all, he's a wife beater.
Yep.
Second of all, he got kicked out.
Right.
So he should
can't get security clearance.
Exactly. And also, what is a president doing calling a wife beater, period?
This man, you know, using his name and the word president in the same sentence is an affront to decency everywhere. And I still can't say, I can't say those two words together. And if you'll notice, I don't. It's either the president or Trump.
Right. I usually just say Trump. I can barely say the president. I can't.
I do what's news, I'm trying to be objective and do the news. And
true.
I still can't say the two words together.
There are certain circumstances you have to do that, where you have to sort of sound professional and objective. It's so hard.
But so
it's
I so will hard. Say the president. I don't say president and his name because
ever.
It just is too incongruous for me.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, all right. TV Newser reported, and we were talking about this in chat a little bit, 22 million people watched the story, and you mentioned it, Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes, and 20 million watched President-elect Trump, as they say, November 2016 60 Minutes interview. So I put out a tweet, not knowing this at the time, but I put out a tweet during the March for Our Lives of the crowd size in D.C., and I said, who has the bigger crowds again? And it got a zillion. I think even Malcolm Nance retweeted that one.
Wow.
I got a bunch of retweets on that. But now you've got Stormy also beating him with crowd sizes.
That, and that's amazing. There was also, you know, one of the matchups for 2020. And I guess with her real name, Stephanie Daniels, she beats Trump.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that. That's great.
Yeah, I don't have tweet.
You don't use her stage name, you're okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, in other words, a generic.
Yes.
Will beat Trump.
Exactly.
No. So Ken Delanian of NBC said, I'm on vacation, trying to take a break from the news, but there is no getting away from the image of the future president of the United States trying to seduce a porn star by telling her she reminds him of his daughter.
Yeah, that was pretty ew. You know, with the Karen McDougal interview,
yes,
it was creepy enough. But right, with this one, it was even worse because she actually had him coming out and saying it. Oh, you remind me of my daughter. In those words,
it's a come on line now. He's using that to try to warm up these women. I mean, hey, you're great.
You're special. Oh,
yeah, you're special. Like my daughter, you're beautiful and smart. And
right,
you're my, oh my God, that's just so disgusting. Okay, Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, tweeted a photo of his daughter in May of 2017. And it said, so proud of my Ivy League daughter, brains and beauty, channeling her Edie Sedgwick, and on Instagram, and you'll get it from my next tweet, Sam Rowe of Yahoo replied, throwback Thursday. That time, Trump lawyer Michael Cohen tweeted about how good his daughter looked in lingerie.
He did?
It was a picture of her wearing a bra,
oh God,
underwear, and as I recall, a garter belt with nylons.
Oh my God.
For some kind of a photo shoot. You know, it was tasteful. It was in black and white, and it was, you know, it was like you'd see in a magazine. But yeah, I mean, this is the picture he put of his daughter.
Yeah. While he's touting her brains.
What is wrong with these people? Hmm?
While he's touting her brains.
Exactly. Saying brains and beauty. Michael Cohen, who's the lawyer who's been bashing Stormy Daniels,
mm-hmm,
puts up a picture of his daughter in lingerie. Just put all that together in your mind, then erase it if you can. But oh boy. And our buddy that we like to talk about, Michael Gillette, singer guitarist,
uh-huh,
the same people who say loving gay couples are endangering the sanctity, in quotes, of marriage, will turn around and defend a man paying off, then threatening a mistress to keep quiet about an affair he had with her while his third wife was home with his infant son.
I have another one from him.
Oh, good.
He wrote, a marriage is supposed to be between a man, his mistress, a rolled-up magazine, his lawyer, his daughter, his porn star, his publicist, his Russian dictator, and his wife.
Very, very good. Oh, he's good. We like him.
He's funny.
This is my last tweet, and then I have some various notes I jotted down about the Stormy Daniels thing for some reason. Stars and Stripes headline, IG is saying, Pentagon cannot properly account for $3.1 billion provided to Afghan security forces. Just let that sink in. And then Ken Klippenstein of the Daily Beast says, U.S. government, sorry, we can't provide you health care. We had to give billions to a corrupt puppet government that'll collapse the moment we leave.
That's really sickening.
$3.1 billion provided to the security forces.
It doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. No, true. No. All right. So what did I write down? Oh, one was that Huckabee said the reason Trump doesn't respond to the Stormy stuff is it doesn't rise to the need. He manages to talk about everything else.
So to speak.
Yes, exactly. Oh, here's a newsflash. White House says special legal status for certain Liberian immigrants will end on March 31st, 2019.
Oh, boy.
You know, he's just doing whatever he can to endear himself to the public and to our neighbors around the world. Anyway, yeah, so he only responds to everything else, not Stormy. I think you probably covered some of this. I have notes about the NDA circumvents the campaign finance law designed to, suppress a speech about the president. They shut her up to make sure Trump won. Then Cohen defamed her, calling her a liar. This is just a recap of what's been happening. That's probably why I wrote this stuff down. Then I have notes about how Trump how he can't get qualified lawyers. It's because, you know, he won't listen to advice. Mm-hmm. He talks or tweets too much about everything that he shouldn't talk or tweet about.
And he won't
he
pay his bills.
Pay them.
Right.
And the scandals aren't worth it to the lawyers who would possibly be involved. And by the way, Dershowitz turned him down. Well, he wasn't asking him, but Dershowitz preemptively turned him down and said, I prefer to stay independent. That's bad.
When you lose Alan Dershowitz, you know you've really hit rock bottom.
Wow. He's been defending him all over Twitter and I'm sure on air somewhere. But
on Fox.
Yeah. And he's preemptively striking back and saying, you know, I'd rather stay independent. I love you, Trump, but no.
I heard somebody else talking about why he can't get white shoe law firm. I don't know what that means.
Why do they call them that?
I don't know, because I don't think anybody's wearing white shoes, but
no.
I guess they're supposed to be the top of the line.
I don't know where the name comes from. Yeah.
But because some of their other clients would have a problem with it. So if you're paying big bucks to a big name law firm, then all of a sudden your firm is tainted because they take on Donald Trump. You run the risk of losing some of your big clients. And so
losing donors, you know, if you do the wrong thing, you lose donors.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, there was an article in one of the major publications. I'm not sure which one anymore, Politico, one of the newspapers, I don't recall, but saying finally, people are starting to say, you know, with all this smutty stuff coming out, do we want to donate? And Congress members are saying, we're between a rock and a hard place. How do we defend this to our donors? But at the same time, how do we not stand by Trump? Because then we lose some of the voters. So it's starting slowly, hopefully now, to affect the Republican Party. It should have a long time ago.
We'll see. This whole thing of, though, him not being able to find a lawyer, this is to defend him against the Russian stuff. This is not the Stormy Daniels stuff. He's got lawyers for that. This is to deal with the Russian stuff, with the Mueller probe. He can't find a lawyer to represent him. That's serious stuff.
That's major. That's the most serious thing that's happened in a White House in a very, very long time, if not ever. This is a huge investigation that branches out in all different directions, from finances, you know, to intrigue. There's this weird intrigue stuff going on with meetings here and meetings there, and what are they, and dealing with all different mafia types. And I mean, and then you know, you've just got the original Russian infiltration and the emails and the hacking and, my God, Guccifer and all this stuff. And that's a huge undertaking, and he doesn't have anyone to represent him.
It's frightening. The level of ineptitude in this administration is frightening. We haven't even talked about John Bolton.
Oh, my God. That scared me to death.
Yes, it continues to scare me to death.
Yeah, I mean, this is a warmonger. This is somebody who would love to drop bombs all over North Korea and Iran. And he was, you know, Iraq crazy, and his mustache alone is intimidating. So,
and even Trump doesn't like his mustache, and he hired him anyway.
Yeah, this is terrible. This is one of the, I remember when it was being floated and everybody was saying, no, this can't happen. Well,
that's
it
right.
happened.
Yes, it did.
Who's going to balance him? Now they're saying Mattis would be the balance, and Mattis is not necessarily in his good graces either.
We're so screwed.
We are so screwed. Can we just go drinking?
Yeah, except you're in California and I'm in Florida.
Well, we'll do it over the phone.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's okay with you? We'll do like a little drinking day. You know how people used to, like when we were teenagers, we used to watch TV on the phone together? People used to do that?
Yeah.
Well, we can drink on the phone together.
Okay. All right.
We definitely need us to get together and do another drunk radio show with Amy.
Yeah, one of these days, if I can ever get out there again. Hey, I've got one more tweet to end with. It's from someone named Ernest LaMonica, who is obviously quoting Gail Collins. And here's the quote.
Okay.
People call him the chaos president, which he thinks is a compliment because it hints at the possibility that there's method to the madness. There isn't. It's just a personality disorder with command authority over nuclear weapons.
Exactly. That is exactly right. He does take, you know, I get annoyed with people who say he's like a bull in a china shop and he's putting DC in disarray. That's what he wants us to say. That was his goal. So I wish people would quit saying it.
Yeah. No, this is what he likes. Anyway, you hear the music. That means we've made it to the end of another hour. My voice held
without
out
getting
somehow.
Bombed.
Now. Gotta Laugh, again, is with us every Tuesday for a show like this. So find her here Tuesdays and at on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and at laffiesplace.com at NicoleSandler.com.
Or at any local bar that's open till 3 in the morning.
There you go. All right. I'll talk to you later, Laffy. Tomorrow on the program, our pal RJ Eskow is supposed to be here to talk about Sinclair Broadcasting. You want to be scared.